All across the United States and Canada and around the world, we're on the air with Hank Hanegraaff and the Bible Answer Man. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, we desire to equip the body of Christ to defend the truth of the gospel and give reasons for the historic Christian faith, because truth matters. To contact the Christian Research Institute, call 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274, or go online to our secure website at www.equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And as we get the broadcast started today, I want to make a couple of comments about prayer. In that over and over again in our Christian subculture, we're hearing preachers talk about prayer as a means of getting things from God. And in doing so, they're marginalizing prayer. For Christians, prayer ought to be its own reward. Prayer is not a magic formula to get things from God. Communicating with God in prayer is itself the prize. Prayer does not simply maintain the Christian life. It is the Christian life reduced to its barest essence. Can there be any greater joy in this world or the next than to commune in the secret place with the living God who knit us together in our mother's wombs? The tragedy of contemporary Christianity is that we measure the success of our prayer life by the size and scope of our accomplishments instead of the strength of our relationship with God. All too often we are fixated on our outwardness while God is focused on our inwardness. Why is it that modern-day athletes suffer from so many addictions? Could it be that they are laden with the trinkets of outward success, but are often inwardly empty? Why do so many Christian leaders succumb to vices or affairs? Could it be that their adulteries spring out of outward achievements, devoid of an inward connection with God through prayer? Could it be that the spiritual apathy of their souls leaves them vulnerable to the secondary appetites of the flesh? Pascal was right. There's a God-shaped vacuum in our lives that only He can fill. When God fills our inner vacuum with His Holy Spirit, life works. When God does not fill the vacuum, a host of consuming appetites swarm through our better intentions. It all adds up to a kind of powerlessness, which always results from living far too far away from our great God and Savior. When we will not provide a place for the direction of the indwelling Christ, all that is left is the frenzied agenda of our hassled discipleship. The sad thing about all this is that true discipleship can never be frenzied, for it emulates its master and turns from turbulence to embrace our Savior as our all in all. I've written about secrets to intimacy with God in a book titled The Prayer of Jesus, which is available through the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can order online at equip.org. You can get a CD version of it. You can also get a video version of it with a teacher's guide and a student's participatory guide. All of that available through the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can also write us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or as always, talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000 CRI. Let's go right to the phone lines. First up today, Dawn, listening in Nashville, Tennessee. Hi, Dawn.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. I was just calling to comment on something I heard you say in a previous broadcast. You were talking about evolution, and you said again and again that it was based on chance, and that is not my understanding of the theory of evolution.
Well, I think you have to define probably what is meant by chance, but chance, in the sense in which I'm using it, refers to that which happens without cause, and therefore chance implies the absence of both a design and a designer, and that is precisely what evolution supposes, design without a designer.
Yes, and you used the example of the coming together of, you know, you gave an actual statistic, I think, of, I can't remember specifically, but something to the effect of, you know, thousands of pieces coming together by chance to form a certain object, and that's not the essence of the theory of evolution. It is the minuscule, tiny, immeasurable happenings that piggyback on things, you know, again and again and again.
Right, but I was quoting The Miracle of Life, which is an Emmy Award-winning PBS Nova broadcast on evolution, which makes these assertions. And I quoted in that previous broadcast exactly what is said in the introduction of The Miracle of Life, and then pointed out that what is being communicated is nonsense. How could the protozoa be the first form of primitive life if there were already organisms such as bacteria in existence? So I was showing that the introduction to The Miracle of Life was self-stultifying. It was self-contradictory.
Yes, I'm just referring specifically to your use of the word chance. I'm not trying to be nitpicky, but that is a common mistake that, you know, a lot of people make about evolution, and that is not the essence of it. That's not the essence of the theory.
But again, I don't think that you're listening to what I just said, Dawn, and I appreciate your call and your comments, but I am defining chance as that which happens without cause, and therefore saying that in the evolutionary system, chance implies the absence of both a design and a designer. And if you look at my book, The Face That Demonstrates the Farce of Evolution, I give a lot of examples of that, including the eye, an egg, and the earth, and demonstrate that chance in that sense has no chance whatsoever, and therefore we shouldn't embrace this kind of nonsense in an age of scientific enlightenment.
Yes, that is a common misconception about evolution. I mean, there are hundreds of variations of eyes in all stages of evolution. I mean, we can't look at the human eye and say, you know, it's the epitome of sight. We know that it's not. When we compare it to an eagle eye, it's clear to see that those eyes are much more advanced in an evolutionary sense than
our eyes.
You've
got to remember that is a can of worms, because there's such a thing as constrained optimization. But I think the reality is that you still have to figure out in the evolutionary paradigm how you can get two eyes and how those eyes can function without the brain. In other words, the isolated development of either is not only meaningless, it's counterproductive. So what's going on is that a vast number of impulses travel from your eyes through millions of nerve fibers that are transmitting information to a complex computing system in the brain. It's called the visual cortex. And you have to link that visual information from the eyes to motor centers in the brain to coordinate a vast number of bodily functions that are axiomatic to the very process of daily living. And the point here is that without the coordinated development of the eye and the brain in synergistic fashion, the isolated developments themselves become meaningless and counterproductive.
I agree.
Therein lies the problem for the evolutionary paradigm. It's not about...
I don't see a problem at all. I think it's very...
Well, maybe you're still living in 19th century science, because what happens when a photon of light hits the human eye was beyond 19th century science. So to Darwin, vision was an unopened black box, but in our epoch of time, that black box has been opened, and it is no longer enough to consider the anatomical structure of the eye. We now know that each of the anatomical steps and structures that Darwin thought were simple actually involve staggeringly complicated biochemical processes that demand an explanation that evolution is incapable of providing.
And I think the thing that really should be considered when talking about evolution is that it was all based on the knowledge of the time, and most importantly, it is a theory.
Well, it is a theory, and that's the point. We now live in an age of scientific enlightenment, and therefore, we should look very, very carefully at this theory, and we ought to apply the laws of science to this theory and see if evolution actually stands up in the cold, hard light of day. And the point of fact is, it simply does not stand up.
To me, it explains a lot more and a lot more scientifically than an imaginary being just placing us here.
Well, here's what I would say. Darwinism today is in much the same condition as Marxism before its collapse. It's suffering from a terminal condition, and that terminal condition cannot successfully be treated with the kinds of presuppositions that evolutionists have to bring to the table today. For example, you have evolutionists today who know is a trade secret that there is no way whatsoever that evolution is a satisfactory explanation, because you do not find vertical transitional forms in the fossil record. So what do? They come up with novel notions like the regurgitation of Goldsmith's hopeful monster theory that a lizard lays an egg and out comes the bird fully formed with wings and tail feathers. Why do they come up with a notion like that, which is more science fiction than science, is simply because the fossil record says no. So just as the Soviet Union collapsed before our eyes, so too the propped-up corpse of evolution is ready for a final fall. And I think that it's important that Christians are on the vanguard of sharing the news that nothing could be more compelling in an age of scientific enlightenment than, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I mean, you are stuck with the presupposition that nothing created everything, and that makes no sense whatsoever. That's what you have to assume as someone that embraces evolution.
Well, again, it just makes more sense to me than, you know, it explains more. It is fallible. It, you know, it definitely has room for growth and expansion, and it may be wrong. Again, it's a theory, but, you know, it does have more foundation in reality, in my mind, than, again, an invisible being placing us here. You know, that's never been seen or experienced in any real...
Yeah, but you gotta use some common sense here. Whenever you have an effect, common sense tells you that there's got to be a cause equal to or greater than that effect. But to say that evolution is just a theory, you have to recognize that this theory has far-reaching consequences. It is a cosmogenic myth that is felt in virtually every field, every discipline of study, every level of education, every area of practice.
So is religion.
That's right. But what is the consequence of saying that evolution is true? The consequence is survival of the fittest and the struggle for existence. And in the evolutionary paradigm, it is as necessary that the unfit die as that the fittest survive, because if the unfit were to survive indefinitely, they would infect the fit with their less fit genes, and therefore evolution wouldn't work. And you had great tyrants in our own epoch of time that have taken the evolutionary paradigm to its logical consequence, and we have seen the slaughter of multiplied millions of people as a direct result of the evolutionary paradigm. Don't
I
forget,
agree with that too. There
I mean, eugenics. Think about eugenics.
I agree with that. And there are also people that, you know, mutate and distort every facet of human, you know, understanding. The same with religion. You've had fanatical Christians and fanatics in every realm of the things that humans study.
Right, but there's a different, because those fanatics are acting in opposition to the teachings of Jesus Christ. Those like Adolf Hitler or Karl Marx or Sigmund Freud were acting in concert with the evolutionary paradigm. They were simply taking a paradigm and drawing it out to its logical conclusion. That makes all the difference in the world. But Don, unfortunately, I'm going to have to leave it at that. I appreciate your very articulate comments, appreciate the conversation, and look forward to having other opportunities to talk to you in the future. We are coming up to a station break. I've written about all of this in several places. One is The Face That Demonstrates the Farce of Evolution. Another is a book titled Fatal Flaws, What Evolutionists Don't Want You to Know. All of that available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can order online at equip.org. Or when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You can also talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000 and the letter CRI. Be back in just a minute with more of your questions.
The clock is ticking on our fiscal year, which ends June 30th. We need to finish our year on budget. So if this outreach is important to you, or you have been equipped and edified by the daily teaching of the Bible Answer Man, we need your financial assistance so that we can finish our fiscal year on target. It's easy to get in touch with CRI. Simply call our toll-free number. It's 888-7000-CRI. We're also on the internet at www.equip.org. But don't touch that dial. Hank will be right back after this short break.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition.
These are the last of the last days. Oh, somewhere between 2003 and 2005, Jesus will come back.
How much longer do you think we really might have?
I don't believe we have another 10 years.
Anywhere from now till 2018, Jesus Christ will appear to set up his thousand-year kingdom of revelation.
When will Jesus come back? The consensus is as varied as the number of so-called experts you ask. So where do you turn for definitive scriptural insight on the end times? Understanding Revelation is now within your grasp. The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff deals with today's most asked prophecy questions. It distinctively presents a method by which you can read the Bible for all it's worth. The Apocalypse Code. Find out what the Bible really says about end times and why it matters today by Hank Hanegraaff. To order, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or order online at equip.org. The clock is ticking on our fiscal year, which ends June 30th. We need to finish our year on budget. The challenge is obvious. In our present day, confusion, deception, and biblical ignorance are causing thousands of people to look for God in all the wrong places. But CRI is determined to cast a light of biblical truth. So if this outreach is important to you, or you have been equipped and edified by the daily teaching of the Bible Answer Man, we need your financial assistance so that we can finish our fiscal year on target. It's easy to get in touch with CRI. Simply call our toll-free number. It's 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also donate online at equip.org. And thank you in advance for your prayerful, generous support. If you appreciate Hank Hanegraaff's passion for the Word of God, then you need the Legacy Study Bible, which is designed to help you leave your legacy as you journey through the pages of Scripture. Hank's love of Scripture has also led him to produce Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, a book that deals with the aberration so prevalent in today's churches and equips you to be able to discern truth from error. Hank would like to personalize a copy of the Legacy Study Bible or, for a limited time, a special numbered leather-bound edition of Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century for your generous gift of $250. To receive a personalized copy of the Legacy Study Bible or the limited leather edition Christianity in Crisis 21st Century, call 888-7000-CRI or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. And now let's get back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And before we go back to our callers, I want to talk to a good friend of mine who is the president and founder of Student Leadership University. It's founded in Orlando, Florida, and it is having a dramatic impact on kids worldwide who are learning to think Christianly and learning how to use their talents as a way of impacting the culture, not only for time, but also for eternity. Jay Strack, it's good to have you on the broadcast.
Well, thank you, Hank. I'm always pumped about being with you and your audience, and I can't think of a better conversation than the one you just had from a very articulate lady struggling with something that, frankly, a lot of us have had to struggle with, you know, how we got here and where we're headed, and if we can help teenagers be able to get some real answers to those kinds of questions early in life and become fully convinced about who they are and why they're here and what their purpose is, then we think we've given them a great head start.
Tell us a little bit about Student Leadership University and how it is preparing so many kids to make a strategic, significant difference, not just pass time, but really impact the world.
Well, Hank, and first of all, I wanted you to be one of the first to know, we just cracked the 50,000th student summer. And I say that because your fingerprints are all over what we do, not only the week that you're with us, and some years there have been several weeks that you've been with us, and all the materials that we put in the hands of our students that we get from the Research Institute. But you've done a lot to help us promote it and give it exposure. We just had 8 students that were on our 401 trip, along with some of their parents, when we went to Jordan and Israel, that reminded me they first heard about student leadership on the radio, on your program, and a couple of them said their kids weren't even old enough for it, and so they went home, wrote it all down, and kept track so when they were old enough, they could come. So I wanted you to know that great news. Hank, you wrestle with this every day, with the calls you get, the letters and emails, and the legitimate questions that where people need just a sure word. You know, we're in an age of great uncertainty with uncertain outcomes, and it sure would be great if there's a certain word. You know, I spent my life, because of my background, trying to help young people make good choices that were survival choices. You know, first of all, make sure they were introduced to faith in Christ, but then remind them there's a battle for the mind, alcohol, drugs, battle for the body. 1 out of every 9 teenage girls get pregnant. Remind them of the consequences of their choices, staying in school and not driving while drinking, and on and on and on. But I had a real moment in my life when I was privileged to be at the Air Force Academy, and I realized that even some of our best and brightest students were really struggling. This was pre-911, with some of the most fundamental and basic issues on the planet. So I responded by getting a group of youth pastors together that had been in youth ministry, and I said, man, guys, if we got a do-over, what would we do? It was unanimous, Hank, that what we've got to do is call time out in the life of our students and give them a plan that can help prepare them for what's about to happen. You know, any parent of any teenager right now, or grandparents of teenagers, in the next 2, 3, 4 years, those young people are going to be away from home, away from church, away from the youth group, and they're going to be thrown into the arena that's, I think, more dangerous than the ancient Colosseum, because there are going to be forces that will rip them to shreds. So what student leadership was our best effort of trying to give students what we call a 20-year head start in how to think like a leader, the attitude of a leader, the habits of a leader, the characteristics of a leader, and then to teach most of all that leadership begins at the feet of Jesus, and that you become a leader, that means that you earn the right to influence people, and the best way you do that is by learning how to be a servant. And so, and then we try to give them the tools of leadership. How do you organize your life? How do you manage your time? You know, how do you get your room ready to get your homework done? How do you best prepare for the SAT? I mean, some of the, again, basic, very basic survival skills. We call it the rules and tools of leadership. But then, Hank, we soon realized that if we didn't help teenagers, and this is a program for those serious middle school and high school students that are serious about wanting to take their life to the next level, wanting to be used to make a difference in the world, that we better give them one other great foundational tool or principle, and that is a really clear understanding of a Christian worldview. And Hank, that term's thrown around so much, as you know, but to help students begin to connect the dots in, can I count on this book? Is this book reliable? Is God's word reliable? Can it guide me through this life and the million and one questions they got to make, and can it guide me and prepare me for eternity? And then we got to help them deal with some of the great critical issues. And again, that's why we love so much what you do, because if we can help them deal with the creation issue, you know, how we got here, if we can help them understand the reliability of Scripture, the miracle of Scripture. And I've got a wonderful way that I teach that through something called MAPS. I'll share it with you sometime. and then, of course, the moment that divided history, the weekend that changed the world, and that is the crucifixion and the burial and the resurrection and the proofs of the resurrection of Christ. And then, Hank, and the thing I love so much about what you do and why we're so thrilled you're going to be with us in July for a week to invest in our students, is to help students be motivated to study, to pray, and to be able to give an answer of the hope that lies within them. And when we give them the tools, Hank, and a lot of that is, you know, 2 or 3 hours with you and that question and answer session, Hank, where you stand there without any notes, and we watch these students who are going through some 36 hours of training in 1 week, stand there for hours, and then through the break, asking you questions. And as middle school students that, frankly, I used to get in college campuses, and you always comment about how it just reminds you how bright these young people are and how hungry they are for somebody to take them seriously and hear their question and answer it, and not just say, listen, that's what the Bible says, you need to believe it. But show them where the Bible says, why the Bible says, why we can count on it. So what student leadership is, Hank, it is a process where we try to give these students an opportunity to be with some other sharp young people. We have students from 18 countries now and from 44 states, and they're in the room with other teenagers that are highly motivated, and we begin to take them on this journey about how to think, how to dream, how to lead. And then most of all, we try to give them this great foundation of knowing what the Word of God has to say for their life.
Student Leadership University has never been more relevant, Jay. 70%, I was just reading this in a front page article in USA Today, 70% of kids from evangelical homes no longer read the Bible, do not believe Jesus Christ is the only way, and are not going back to church. And oftentimes, it is because they go to school and they are hearing that the Bible is, as you alluded to, nothing but myths and fables, that Abraham was not real, that Joshua was not real, that David was not real, that Solomon was not real. There is an onslaught against the Bible, and many kids don't know what the antidote is. They don't know that they are being given false information or half information or the skin of the truth stuffed with a lie. Therefore, what is happening in Student Leadership University is not only giving kids a biblical worldview, but in essence, you're teaching them how to think about things.
Well, Hank, thank you, buddy. And the thing that absolutely has changed my life is when you begin to see, I mean, you know, Hank, there's some great, great churches that you've been at that you know well and that are mutual friends of ours, and where those pastors have said, you know, we got youth camp, we got choir trip, we got mission trip, but, you know, Churchill said occasionally, no matter how beautiful your strategy, we must look at our results. And when pastors, when youth pastors, and most of all when parents, because we're asking them to make an investment in their student that could change their life, change their destiny, and certainly change what they're going to do in these next years that can give them this tremendous head start instead of digging a hole for themselves that's almost impossible to get out of. And so what we have found, and we've had pastors say, we're going to send just a couple students. We're going to send 10 or 12 or 15. But, you know, Hank, and these are some that have every book you have in their library. Kids that came as the troublemaker, messing with drugs, sitting in the back of the church, not engaged, not thinking anything seriously. And today, Hank, we have two professors on the faculty at Oxford with their DPhils that came as 8th and 9th graders when we started this thing 15 years ago. And number two, we've got several professors. We got a young man that's getting his PhD in Princeton now, who after asking you three questions in a two-hour period, resolved in his heart that he wanted to get a PhD from Princeton and come back and teach Christian worldview. And I heard from him 2 days ago, a young guy named Luke Lynn, and he's just beginning his dissertation. We got another young man who's a professor at Southeastern Seminary now, Dr. Heath Thomas. And so when these young people are exposed to the reality of Scripture and the power of Scripture, and they're put in an environment where, you know what, Hank, and I'll just say this straight, we've tried a long time, I say we as the church and as ministry and sometimes as parents, we've tried to teach our kids what to think. And what I love so much about what you do when you're with us that week, you help students learn how to think. And, you know, there's a huge difference. So that's why we've kind of changed our whole mind. It's not just, here's what you got to believe, here's what you got to believe, here's what. We want to teach them how to think. We want to teach them how to wrestle that problem to the ground. We want to teach them where to find the answers to that. And by the way, that remarkable lady that we were talking to, you were so gracious with on the phone, you know, if you read Darwin's Origin of the Species and just go through with a pen and circle every time the word maybe, perhaps, could have been, seems to be, feasible, plausible, might have been. I mean, you circle those, it's almost 200 of them in that little tiny book called The Origin of the Species. And we can't let a generation exchange of thus saith the Lord for 200 maybe perhaps as feasibilities or could have been. And so we're trying to help these students learn how to think, help them learn how to have a dream, and help them learn how to lead.
Jay Strachey is the founder and president of Student Leadership University. If you want to find out more about Student Leadership University, go to the World Wide Web at equip.org and check it out. Also, please remember that I'm going to be at Student Leadership University this year once again, July 19th through July 22nd. Jay, as always, good to have you on the broadcast.
Man, I'm grateful, buddy. I look forward to seeing you July 19th, man.
Likewise. Student Leadership University, it is a program making a difference for time and for eternity. So please, I urge you to check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. We'll be right back with more of your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please don't touch that dial.
Today, evidence abounds of the growing evil in our modern-day culture. False teachers and New Age cults continue to seduce millions with their empty promises and false philosophy. Subscribers to the Christian Research Journal know they will regularly receive timely information on the latest religious trends, as well as practical tips on dealing with the challenges to the Christian faith in a fallen world. To subscribe now, go to www.equip.org or call us at 888-7000-274. Don't go away. The Bible Answer Man broadcast returns in just a moment.
From Genesis to Revelation, every word of the New King James Bible is performed in dramatic audio theater by over 500 actors and narrated by Michael York.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
With sound design by one of the top studios in the industry and scored with original music composed and conducted by Maestro Stefano Manetti. The Word of Promise Audio Bible puts the listener in the moment when Moses leads the children of Israel, Daniel walks into the lion's den, and when Jesus lives as man here on earth.
Order the Word of Promise Audio Bible on CD or MP3 from CRI by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org.
Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Joe in Columbia, Missouri. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
You've always appreciated the thoughtful, biblically-based answers you hear from Hank on the Bible Answer Man. Now you can benefit from Hank's input and instruction in your personal quiet times through the Legacy Study Bible.
Hank Hanegraaff has assembled what could be the most helpful Bible you've ever read.
Each book of the Bible begins with an introduction written by Hank, which means for each book you'll learn its L-E-G-A-C-Y, or location, essence, genre, author, context, and years.
The entire Bible is crafted so that you can document your legacy of faith. It's like including Hank in your Bible studies.
Order the Legacy Study Bible, edited by Hank Hanegraaff, by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. Again, that's equip.org. Do you use software programs to prepare your taxes, store and display photos, or create music playlists? Have you considered software for your Bible? GLOW is an interactive Bible resource that allows users to explore and experience the Bible in a whole new way. Imagine studying the timeline of Jesus' ministry, following Paul's journeys on interactive maps, touring the Holy Land, reading articles on marriage, money, and work, and creating your own Bible reading plan, all from one software program. You'll experience the Bible in a whole new way with GLOW, a Bible for the digital world, complete with over 2,000 high-resolution photos, 7,000 articles, 460 virtual reality tours, 147 maps, and timelines. You can order your copy of GLOW today online at equip.org or by calling the Christian Research Institute toll-free at 1-888-7000-CRI. The clock is ticking on our fiscal year, which ends June 30th. We need to finish our year on budget. No other live daily broadcast proclaims truth, corrects error, and tackles the hottest Bible questions on a daily basis like the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
I thank you for the encouragement about getting into God's Word and God's Word getting into you. I support your ministry, brother. It has been a blessing to me over the years, and I just encourage anyone else out there that's listening to not only support you, but pray for you as well. Thank you for what you do.
So if this outreach is important to you, or you have been equipped and edified by the daily teaching of the Bible Answer Man, we need your financial assistance so that we can finish our fiscal year on target. It's easy to get in touch with CRI. Simply call our toll-free number. It's 888-7000-CRI. We're also on the internet at www.equip.org. Now let's get back to the Bible Answer Man. Here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And right back to our callers. Next up, Rob, listening in St. Peter's, Missouri. Hi, Rob.
Hi, Hank.
How are you?
Oh, I'm fantastic. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Let's just send a bunch of angels out to Dawn that they just envelop her and change your mind. Amen?
Amen, yes.
I had a couple questions for you. One was I wanted to know what you felt about the once saved.
Well, I certainly don't subscribe to the notion that you must be born again and again and again. If someone is born again, then they have everlasting life, and that everlasting life does not start when you die. It starts when you embrace the Savior who died for you.
Amen. Well, I mean, even as humans, as we change, you know, what about somebody that's gone through that or been heavily into the church, but then just changes their lifestyle and becomes an evil person?
Yeah, well, you have to recognize that we look at the outward appearance. God looks at the heart. So if you would have looked at Judas, you would have said, I want to be like Judas, because he was doing all kinds of great and miraculous things along with Jesus Christ. He was in the inner circle of Jesus Christ, and yet Jesus Christ knew that he was there not because he loved the master, but because he loved what was on the master's table. So he had a said faith, not a real faith, and I think we're in much the same condition today. There are people who have a said faith as opposed to having a real faith, and therefore we think that they've fallen away from the faith that they once embraced, but they never genuinely embraced it in the first place.
Okay. The next question I had three, was I was involved in a prosperity church for a long time, and I did chew the hay and spit out the sticks, and I learned a lot. I got a lot closer to the Bible than ever. And my comment on that whole thing is, in my heart, I really don't feel like a lot of those people are truly wolves in sheep's clothing. I just feel that they need enlightenment themselves.
Well, and that's possibly true, and I certainly make that point in a book called Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. I have met quite a number of people deeply embedded in Word of Faith theology who I think were genuine believers and did not really understand what the Word of Faith message was communicating. So I totally agree with what you're saying.
Even with the pastors, the guys that are
out there? I mean, I think that a lot of them, and I can't judge their heart, only the Holy Spirit can do that. A lot of them that I know personally, I'm quite convinced, and again, this is my own personal belief in having interacted with them over a long period of time, that they know exactly what they're doing. And that, unfortunately, they can't walk away from what they're doing, and because it's their livelihood, it's their shtick, as it were. But look, what does the Bible say? Even from among your own numbers, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after themselves. So be on your guard. Remember, for 3 years, I never stopped warning each one of you night and day with tears. I can't judge their hearts, but I can judge their theology, and their theology is devastating to people.
Amen. Okay, thank you. And the last one is about this oil. A friend of mine was saying that's, you know, in Revelation, with this huge oil spill, that one-third of the fish will die. Do you have any inkling or your heart telling you anything about that?
Yeah, absolute nonsense. First of all, Revelation wasn't written to us, it was written for us. It was written to seven churches in the province of Asia. So while the principles apply to us, the oil spill has nothing to do with what is written about in Revelation.
Okay.
Okay?
Very good. God bless you. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, Rob. Thank you for calling. Ramona next, listening in Salt Lake City, Utah. Hi, Ramona.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Good. I want to thank you for taking my call, and I have a couple of questions. I want to know if you're familiar with the scholar Bollinger, and also, what do you think about Pastor Arnold Murray and his teaching?
Well, Arnold Murray is a contemporary radio or television pastor who denies the Trinity and claims Christ and the Holy Spirit are one and the same.
Oh.
He believes that men were gods who existed prior to living on earth. He teaches Anglo-Israelism. This is the idea that the Anglo-Saxons are the chosen race.
Mm.
He teaches the serpent seed doctrine, that Eve had sex with the snake, and that's how you get the Kenites. And he teaches a lot of just monstrous doctrines that are either direct denials of essential Christian faith or just plain silly or confusing. Let me give you an example. I just heard a clip by Arnold Murray just the other day, and we recorded it. Let me play that for you and then comment.
What was Adam made in the image of? God and the angels. So, therefore, the angels have a body in this earth age and heaven age exactly the same, only a different substance. But the likeness is exact, okay? In other words, all people, when God said, let us create man in our, plural, our image, he meant all of us that were with him. In other words, you look, just as Christ was God here on earth, this is why Jesus would say, and this is why God would say, let us create man in our image. He created Christ in his very own image. If you've seen Christ, you've seen God. Okay.
There are probably more mistakes than words in that little clip, but one of the things that he says, which is problematic, is he created Christ. Well, Christ has always existed. We believe as Christians
right. That
Christ is the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence. He also says that there were people with him in the process, teaches this whole notion of the pre-existence before humans come to earth, so human pre-existence. Then he says, what was Adam made in the image of? God and angels? Well, no, Adam was not made in the image of God and angels. Adam was human. God is spirit. Angels are non-physical, non-corporeal beings. So he is just horribly confused. And where the confusion runs into a real difficult detour is where he denies essential Christian doctrine, as in denying the Trinity and so forth.
Yeah.
Not the kind of guy you want to be listening to.
Okay, thank you. And then are you familiar with Bollinger?
Yes, I am. I think I have written about him somewhere. E.W. Bollinger was an Anglican clergyman, and he is the original author of ultra-dispensationalism. And I've talked about that in my book, The Apocalypse Code.
Uh-huh.
Not somebody that you'd want to listen to.
Thank you.
Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Bill. Bill is listening in Tarpon Springs, Florida. Hi, Bill.
Hi. Good evening.
You've got
a heck of a show.
Thank you.
It's excellent.
Thank you very much.
Question for you about what the word image means in creation. It said, you know, God said, let us make man in our image. I've got a study Bible, Greek Hebrew.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and there's a gentleman I ran across that happens to be the number one guy at college down here in Florida, and he's a Unitarian,
mm-hmm.
You know, and you've got to be ready to defend the faith at all times.
Yeah.
So we have that word, M-R image, which in the ancient Hebrew, in my little reference, says, an image, a likeness, a statue, a model, a drawing, a shadow. The word means an image, likeness. Its most celebrated theological and anthropological use was to depict human beings as made in the God's own image. And there we go back to Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
So the Unitarians say, okay, that word image, we are made in God's image, therefore we are God.
Well, and of course they misunderstand what it means to be made in the image of God. Far from being a reproduction of God or being divine, humanity is more correctly portrayed as a reflection of God. That
right.
Humans are created in God's image simply means that they share in a finite and imperfect way the communicable attributes of God. And those attributes are attributes like personality, spirituality, rationality, knowledge, wisdom, morality, goodness, holiness, righteousness, love, justice, mercy. These kinds of attributes in turn give us the capacity to enjoy fellowship with God and to develop personal relationships with one another. But this in no way says that we can partake in what's called the incommunicable attributes of God, which is such attributes as omniscience and omnipotence and omnipresence. These are attributes that are incommunicable. They have no reflection in humanity. So we share communicable attributes, the kind of attributes that I just mentioned, but not incommunicable attributes. And therefore, we are not divine. And Unitarianism in general has its roots in the Radical Reformation. The first Unitarian writer was Martin Salarium. And he was a friend of Martin Luther. He rejected the authority of Scripture in doctrinal matters, denied the doctrines of the historic Christian faith, repudiated the notion of eternal separation from God, and this is a world...
There you go. That's the key.
Yeah.
They dispute the eternal separation because their definition of image is that they go along with us that we share the attributes, but then they have the unattributable attributes, which they take the word un out of.
Yeah. Well, again, it is a false view of reality. And I think in terms of the specific question, the image of God has to do not with the idea that we're reproductions of God, but rather that we reflect his communicable attributes. I'm going to have to leave it at that. We are out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your question on air when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. That translates to 888-275-4265. Do remember that this is a ministry supported by listeners just like you. Without your support, we simply cannot stay on the air. We have a few days left before we end our fiscal year, and we still have a long way to go before we can end the year in the black. So we ask you, if you can, please pray for this ministry and give the most generous gift you can so that we can end our fiscal year in the black and continue ministering, bearing abundant, abiding fruit around the world. In God's grace, we depend on friends like you. So again, I'm asking you to send in your best possible gift, postmarked by June 30. You can do so on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Give in a very safe, secure fashion. You can also do so via the mail, Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, and by calling our resource consultants at 888-7000 and the letter CRI. Again, thank you for tuning in. We'll see you next time with more of the show.
When was the last time you visited us on our website? It's easy to find at equip.org. When you visit equip.org, you'll find links that will instantly connect you with the latest that the Christian Research Institute has to offer. Seeking answers to your most pressing questions? Click on the Research tab, type in your keyword, and you'll find a vast array of information on your topic. Looking for books and materials you hear about on the broadcast? Check out our convenient e-store. Connect with CRI on Facebook and Twitter, or read Hank's blog. You can also listen to current and past Bible Answer Man broadcasts. All this and more when you go to equip.org. Once again, the address is equip.org. The Bible Answer Man is a production of the Christian Research Institute. Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed on today's religious movements and scriptural insights needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal.
Avatar, the special effects extravaganza movie by James Cameron, has just recently become the number one box office blockbuster of all time. Clearly, this historic movie is resonating with tens of millions of people around the planet. However, it is not merely special effects entertainment. It is cult-like in its effect. In this issue, we examine the impact pagan worldviews such as the one portrayed in Avatar are having not only on our culture, but the entire world. You'll also find insightful articles on the attempt to explain faith and morality using neuroscience, animists viewed as model environmentalists, and much more.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.
The clock is ticking on our fiscal year, which ends June 30th. we need to finish our year on budget. The challenge is obvious. In our present day, confusion, deception, and biblical ignorance are causing thousands of people to look for God in all the wrong places. But CRI is determined to cast a light of biblical truth. So if this outreach is important to you, or you have been equipped and edified by the daily teaching of the Bible Answer Man, we need your financial assistance so that we can finish our fiscal year on target. It's easy to get in touch with CRI. Simply call our toll-free number. It's 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also donate online at equip.org. And thank you in advance for your prayerful, generous support.